our Savior redeemed. And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David.
This is Pastor Barry.
Yes, and God bless you all for listening, all six of you. We really don't know how many are listening. After the last two sessions, probably fewer, but I don't know. But, you know, we're just being realistic, but joyous too, because these are things that God wants us to give you.
Mm-hmm.
This theme, where Christian unity is the theme that's running through these the first two sessions in this last episode as well. And it's very critical. The Spirit of God is putting it on the hearts of his people to get the church ready. And as we've said the last two sessions, but I'll repeat it again, if Christians are not united in Christ together without any barriers, without any prejudices that would otherwise separate us, then that's not where God wants us to be. He wants us to be with each other and with him, and nothing that holds us back from being in fellowship with each other all the way. We can go back to our churches and do the things we do and that are unique to us, and that's fine. But when we're standing shoulder to shoulder, this army of God that's facing the enemy, because it is another battle. It's a battle for the church. It's a battle for the revival that's coming. It's a battle, you know, we've also said, for America.
Right.
And you got to realize that America is on a tipping point, and the enemy's got control of several people in government, many influential people.
Oh, yeah.
I believe God is moving in such a way that the enemy's really going to be exposed, and all of his plans are going to be crushed. That's my faith, and I believe that that's in Scripture. I believe God's revealed that to the church. That's what I believe. Now, you can pray and ask God if, in fact, I'm believing the right thing. And I think he'll tell you, yeah, and I want you to believe it too. But I'll let you and God work that out. But tonight's theme...
Well, let me read the theme, David.
Oh, you want to read it?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Tonight's theme is, God provides us with hope that his will shall be accomplished.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you know God any at all, you know that he always gets his way. I mean, there's never a time. It may look like he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because our limited, finite minds, you know, try to conceive of things that we end up failing. At least I do. I do. You know, but God always gets his way. He always wins. His perfect plan has never been diverted.
And yet he's ever so patient with us.
Oh, he loves us so much. That's a love that I wish I could express.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really get under my skin, you know, and I worked hard. I do love them. But sometimes they just have to wander off.
Yeah.
Because they're just, you know, they continue to get under my skin. But I pray for them, and some have actually been blessed by the Lord to not be so, you know, annoying is a good word.
Yes.
Annoying.
Not anointing.
Not anointing. Okay. Well, there's an anointing, so they can't be annoying.
All right.
I trust that in the Spirit. So God does provide us with hope. The one scripture, and this has been a very favorite set of verses for me. When I was in seminary, my spiritual director, we went on a retreat, and I was really doing some deep spiritual digging. And the next morning before breakfast, he comes down and he says, I have this, God gave me this scripture, and I want to share with you. It's Psalm 62, verse 5 through 6. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
Wow.
I mean, there's power in that. There's truth in that.
Because
now this is our unchangeable God. It's a great word, by the way. It's got several syllables that does use the same word for unchangeable, immutable. I love it.
I like that word.
I love it. Some people say immutable. What's that? You know, and I say, well, it means unchangeable. But I, if you can use the word immutable, and you'll sound like you're smarter. I don't know. But anyway, but God, because God is unchangeable, we can always count on him. And his word, we can always count on that. Because God doesn't say one thing one day and then totally change the meaning the next day. So when I read this, and believe me, friends, I have this. I have gone to this verse again and again. I have imprinted it on my very soul, because from you all know, believers, you all know that life gets hot and hard sometimes.
Oh, it does. And, you know, right in the beginning, in verse 5 here, what's speaking to me right now is this wait in silence. Because when you're in trouble, when you're hurting, when you're frightened, and on it goes, all the emotions, we tend to step ahead of God, pull in the leash a little bit, and fill our minds up with a plan.
Yeah.
And we all know what God thinks of plans, human plans. Waiting in silence, that is so important, but not easy to do.
No.
When you've been slapped over the head with a bad diagnosis, with a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a home, and you know how it goes.
Yes.
It's so imperative to get quiet and listen to God. And even in your silence, if you don't hear God's voice, meditate on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the real deal. He is our rock. He is our salvation. And he's our fortress. You know, if we're with God, we're not going to be killed, wounded, spiritually. I'm talking spiritually, David.
Right.
You know, our souls are protected and they're intact.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have God on our side, man, if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will.
Well, it's the only real source of hope is that he's on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, of course, you know, we have, in the last two episodes of Glorious Day, focusing in on Christian unity, we have said some things. I know I have. It's probably shaken some people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you've gotten angry over what I've said, and you're fuming. And you may have had to go out and chop a tree down. I hope it wasn't a live one, you know, or whatever. Whatever you've... But here is where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because God does... God knows, obviously, better than any of us, that when his will is unfolding, and especially at a time like this, because we all know, I'm not going to tell you when, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we are definitely in the outskirts of the second coming. And you can look around all the world and see this is the state the world is in now, that a lot of the apocalyptic prophecies about what the world will look like.
The stage is being set.
Mm-hmm. So that means God is moving in his church to get us where he wants us to be. And change, we're talking about change, and change is frightening for a lot of people, probably for everybody at some level. And when I talk about Christian unity and the change that's going to have to happen, I know when you really think about it, it is frightening. And what we're saying now in this last session is we really want to encourage you to be prayerful and to get into the Word. And, you know, Barry, you said earlier when you talked about the first verse, verse 5 that we read tonight, it's wait in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my soul, wait in silence. Man, that's hard for us, especially guys, you know, because we're fixers, we're doers. I got to get out there and make it right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a time to be doing that, because God wants us to be resting in him and listening to him.
That requires trust.
Yeah.
That requires trust and, again, an intimate relationship with Christ, to take your man mantle off and say, okay, I'm going to put my tools away because this is too big for me to fix, but God can do this.
Amen.
And then trust him, and like an obedient child, wait in silence.
Yes. And that, too, that word obedience, that's another one that we are hearing more and more in the church, the broader church.
Right.
You know, wherever Christians are, no matter what the shingle they hang out in front of their church, there, God is speaking about obedience, because we have to be, obey God in what he says to get ready, you know. And there's a commonality in that message.
Right.
You know, hearing it here and you're hearing it there. And even some of the old, you know, the programs here at WCNO, we got several preachers who have gone on to be with Jesus. And mm-hmm. and like J. Vernon McGee and like Adrian Rogers.
Right.
And the those two particularly were very deep. J. Vernon McGee was deeply into the Word. I mean, he would unpack, you know. He was just so good at that.
He was so good at that in his homespun way where a lot of light bulbs went on saying, oh, now I understand. Oh, okay. Now
yes.
I get. Yeah.
And I loved Adrian Rogers. His he cuts right through
mm-hmm.
anything right to the heart. His sermons are always to the heart.
Don't you think that Paul probably preached like that?
I think so. In reading, you know, his letters.
If he preached like he wrote, my.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Is you know, you would never, you could never, you may not like what he said, but you could never doubt where he was coming from.
Right.
And this is back. We're back in this today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God loves to return to, you know, things that, because he doesn't change. So these methods that we see God moving in the early church, we're seeing that again today.
Mm.
We can just expect, folks, we can expect that more and more each day that Christianity is, God is drawing us back to those fundamental essentials of the faith
mm-hmm.
and encouraging us to get there and to know that.
But the fundamentals of Christian faith, once people grab hold of that, it's like a light that goes off where they say, okay, this is truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about you, David, but growing up in different denominations, as I came to be a young man, I started to wonder, well, wait a minute, I didn't see that in the Bible. And I have a Bible on my lap. I can't find it. Well, that's because it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I began to realize that there's a core truth here, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
And yet it's being painted over in some cases. What's the church? We used to have a word for this, churchianity.
Churchianity, right.
Churchianity. And that says a lot in itself, where, and it was well-meaning, it meaning, you know, coming up with different programs, coming up with different ways of growing in your Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
This all sounds good, but some of it was a wee bit clutter, in my opinion. It was something to trip over in your effort to go find Christ. And at its time, maybe it meant more.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it's funny, when you tell folks out there in the world, you know, listen, I was Catholic as a kid. Okay, we're going to go back to that. And I get questions like, well, how do you know when to stand up, sit down, kneel, genuflect, and all the other stuff? And they kind of smile when they say it.
Yeah.
But you touched on something earlier when you did research on the Catholic Church.
Right.
Some of the stuff, meaning church stuff, is absolutely beautiful. Because in the Catholic Church, in the old way they worshiped, you were worshiping with your body and your spirit.
Yeah,
And some of the things that were done around the altar were done out of respect to God, reverence to God.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. But as long as you don't put your priorities there, as long as you don't consider that the core of your spiritual life, it's not. It's the core of your life. If you look behind the altar, you're going to see a cross. That's it. That's the core of my spirituality.
And you're pointing back to the essence of what we've been saying in these three mm-hmm. Linked episodes, and that is you get back to the basics. God wants us to get back to the basics. Now, again, you know, I want to say if there are certain things you enjoy, like, you know, in our experience, you know, we're, and again, not disparaging, I'm just pointing out that people worship differently. The mm-hmm. the environment of worship in the church on Sunday, let's say, there are some differences. Okay, Mm-hmm. But let's take Easter Sunday. Two weeks ago, we had Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. And yes, the Catholics and the Anglicans were vested in white robes and white stoles. And
oh, yeah, they were glowy.
Glowy, and they had all kinds of candles and vessels on the altar, and they had a specific liturgy that was focused on Easter, the resurrection, scriptures, and all of that. And that blessed them. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, on the Protestant side, you had people that were dressed in coats and ties, and there were flowers and candles probably in most churches.
Yeah, they do up the church a
little
bit.
They do up the church, right, because you're coming out of, many churches do follow the Holy Week thing with Lent, and then you get into Good Friday, which was today. We're recording this on Good Friday, but 2 weeks out, to the second Sunday of Easter. But the point is that if you take everything that was done on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and you put aside the denominational differences, you see Jesus, his resurrection, is central to all of those worship services.
They're speaking the same words.
Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about.
Right.
God wants us to acknowledge what is common to all of us, and that's Jesus. And all that's connected with the ministry of Christ, the coming to earth of the Son of God, for the sake of saving the souls, God, the people of God that are here that need Jesus, and that it's all the same. It's the same Jesus. It's the same gospel. Mm-hmm. And if we could get that in our heads, I can live with the differences. It doesn't bother me that, some people wear different clothing on Sunday and they have altars as central instead of pulpits. Mm-hmm. But the message is the same.
Several years ago, I was with friends from our little church group up at Disney for the Night of Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was one particular concert, because they have concerts at all the different venues with all the contemporary Christian bands. And it's a wonderful night, David. If you can stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning, because the park's closed to everybody else. But you go in, and I remember standing in front of Cinderella's castle. There was probably 5,000 to 6,000 people, all holding hands while Casting Crown was singing Glorious Day. And as they were singing it, I looked around, and there were young people, elderly people, children running around, people of all colors, stripes, cultures, all holding hands with tears running down their face. And I thought, this is the body of Christ. This is church. This is what heaven's going to look like.
Pretty much.
And there was no one wearing any name tags. And it was beautiful.
It was unnecessary.
And
because...
It didn't need it. The Holy Spirit was running through that crowd, and boy, were you church that night.
Essential Jesus.
You were spiritually fed. I think we need to think about that. Spiritually fed. And we've talked about that before. And if you're in a church because that's where you were born in, and that's where you go because you were told to go there, I want you to answer this question, not to me, but to yourself and to God. Are you being spiritually fed?
Yeah.
Are you an obligatory Christian? I went.
Duty.
I was there.
Yep. Did my duty. Checked that block.
Yep. Or if you're not being fed, it could explain a lot of things. David and I have talked about prejudice between all the different Christian camps, we'll call it that.
Yeah.
If you're truly fed, if you have Christ in you, you're not going to feel that way. You're not going to feel that way. There's no room for prejudice in Christ in your heart. It doesn't work like that. You need to, ask yourself, am I spiritually growing?
Mm-hmm.
Am I stagnant? Am I even saved? Ooh, that's a big one. Am I saved? And not everybody, our archbishop likes to show up at church and make the pronouncement when he walks in. Not everybody here is going to heaven. bad public relations guy.
Right.
But his point was, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you're wasting your time being here.
It's quite important to us to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior in our heart, not in our mind.
Right.
There's a lot of people that know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know him. But with God, it's all about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to be intimate in that relationship with him. He wants us to have Jesus. And if you read the scriptures, we'll probably have to do a series on this, I think. But if you read the Gospels, if you read, and then Paul, who does a great job of unpacking this, it's basically this. When you receive Jesus Christ willingly, wanting him in your heart, you know what happens? Is that he comes into you, and then you're drawn into him.
Mm-hmm.
You become totally covered by grace in Jesus. Now, the scriptures say this. And because of that, this is where beginning to talk about our saving grace,
mm-hmm.
is that when God looks upon someone who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior,
mm-hmm.
he does not see the sinner in their sin. He sees Jesus, his son. And when we talk then about Jesus advocating with us before the Father,
mm-hmm.
that day of judgment, when we come before the Lord, and Jesus is going to be standing next to us, and when God calls out a life of sin, Jesus is going to say, you know, but I died for him or her.
Right.
And God's going to say, acquitted.
Boom.
You know? And then there are going to be people who didn't invite Jesus in their heart. They just allowed facts to enter their head. And if they don't change that, when they stand before God, they have no advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And their sins are going to condemn them forever. This is what the scriptures say. This is why it's so important,
right,
that we as believers share our faith,
mm-hmm.
with those who do not. Why we're doing this now, because we know there's some unbelievers listening,
mm-hmm.
and we hope that this got your attention. And in fact, now that you have our email address, which I'll give again before we close tonight,
mm-hmm.
And you can write to us and ask questions.
Well, you know, nobody wants anyone to go to the lake of fire.
Amen. No, I don't want.
Not even the annoying people, okay?
None not even them. The annoying. I agree with you.
But that should give you the strength and the focus to get over prejudice, get over, maybe even you feel awkward about talking about Christ. Some people are too shy or feel ill-equipped or unprepared. That notion alone of the cashier at the grocery store that you've seen for the last 10 years that says she's an atheist and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whomever it is, to stand up and say, wait a minute, I do not want to see you burn in hell.
Amen.
So awkward as the situation is, I'm going to tell you about Jesus again. And I'll keep telling you until you accept him. You know, and that's kind of how it goes, folks. If you wonder why Paul kept getting up every morning beaten and starving and probably wounded and here and there and everywhere, because he was kicked around. The guy was a hot mess. He kept going because he was dedicated to sharing Christ with any human being, his jailers, whoever it was, they were going to hear about Christ.
He did not give up on taking every opportunity to share, either in a large crowd or an individual, no matter what his circumstances, to share Jesus with them.
I got a question, David.
Yeah.
We read about Paul and Peter and all the other fellows, and they went out into the world to bring this gospel. And would they, if they sat in your church, whatever church that is, and you were sitting next to Paul, do you think he would recognize the church? Would he recognize the message?
Oh, good question. I think it depends on where he goes. But you could ask this, listen to our listeners. If you're a churchgoer and you know what you experience, what you know of St. Paul, would he recognize the message?
Yeah.
And not just the preaching, but in how the worship is led.
Oh, yeah.
What is being said and done by the people.
Well, you know, John was the last apostle alive, and he was pretty old, and I think they dragged him around on a mat saying, tonight, one night only, we have the apostle John.
Right, right.
The poor guy was elderly and crippled, and I wondered if he recognized what was going on, or if he had something to
say
about it.
Good question.
Because, you know, we tend to improve things, David.
You know, we love to do that, don't we?
We have to tamper with it until it just looks prettier and feels better, you know.
Yeah, amen. It does. Yeah, and we have to. Yeah. But I believe that I'm very much convinced that all these things we're talking about, that I hope you're not sitting down and saying, okay, I've got a heart for this, but now I got to figure out plan, you know, A, B, C, and D. I've got to draw a schematic so I can get, no. Because that's part of that spirit of religion. That's part of that. Again, you're writing another doctrine that you're going to have to follow. Forget it. You just need to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
If you will just open up your heart to God and say, God, lead me, show me what you want me to do, heal me where needed, fill me, and he will. He'll do that. You'll have the power.
Just got to speak up, people. You know, I think of St. Francis. Oh, I brought him up twice. Francis would basically open a Bible and say, look, God's telling us to do this. Let's go do this today. And that's how he ran his little group, his little church, if you will. You know, let's just do what God's telling us to do. And that's it.
Based on the word.
On the word.
Which is essential Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, you know, guess what?
What?
Well,
what, David?
I hate to tell you, but our time is dissipating.
That's impossible.
I know. We're just living in linear time, and so this is all we have to deal with. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no time.
Ah.
Some people are going to say, that means they'll talk forever.
I just got a new watch, too.
Really? It's all right. You're going to leave it here with it. It'd be laying on the top of the clothes, that pile of clothes you're wearing when Jesus comes.
Amen.
And the rapture, you know, you'll leave that.
Okay.
Anyway, before we go, I want to give you again our email address so mm-hmm. that you can. We encourage you to write. Tell us, you know, you can certainly build us up or try to tear us down or somewhere in the middle. We don't really care. We just love to hear from you. It is Glorious Day Radio, all lowercase, Glorious Day Radio at Outlook.com. Glorious Day Radio at Outlook.com. And that's about all the time we have, brother.
Well, it went by way too fast.
I know.
Way too fast.
We have so much fun.
Well, you know, I want all of you out there to know that we love you dearly, and please send a message just to say hi. See how you're doing out there. If you have any questions, again, it's Glorious Day Radio at Outlook.com.
That's it. You've got it.
God bless you all.
Talk to you next week.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he is always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find.